Can children meditate on God's Word? Find out today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. We are looking today at Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, where Moses tells parents, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." Why? So that you will not forget the Lord, verse 12, and so that you will fear the Lord and worship Him only, verse 13. Let's learn more about that today as we study God's Word.
We are currently looking at what the Scripture teaches about parenting. And in our look so far, we have seen what the greatest need of our children have and what we are to teach them about God. And tonight I want to continue where we left off last time. So let me have you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And just so that we have the entire context, I want to begin reading at verse 1. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." As we looked at this passage in our last study together, we observed two truths that are paramount in each of our lives as well as our kids. And those two truths were, God is one, and we are to love Him wholeheartedly. Now, we saw those two truths in verses 4 and 5, and we noted the importance of emphasizing these two truths to our children. The God of the Bible is one. That means that there are no other gods, and it also means that He is a unity, or you might say a triunity. He is three. And when we teach our kids about the singularity and the triunity of God, we are laying a proper foundation for them that will lead them the rest of their lives, and not only lead them the rest of their lives, but it will lead them to an understanding of the God of the Bible. Essential to this understanding is the devotion that God requires from us. Notice verse 5. He says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And this command right here, as stated by Jesus in Matthew 22:37, it serves as the greatest of all commands, and it's the only motive for obedience to God. Loving the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength is placed at the head. It's the spiritual principle from which the observance of the commandments was to flow. It was in love that the fear of the Lord and the hearkening to His commandments and the observance of the whole law were to be manifested. But love itself was to be shown by walking in all the ways of the Lord. If you'll notice Deuteronomy 10:12, it says this, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Where true love to God exists in the heart, it will manifest itself in regard to His will and in the diligent keeping of His commandments. If you'll notice what He says in Deuteronomy 10:12, He says, "You will fear the Lord, you will walk in His ways, you will serve Him." And so when it says in Deuteronomy 6, 5, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, he is referring to keeping all of his word all the days of our lives. He cannot accept a half-hearted worship or a half-hearted obedience. Now, I want you to notice the third truth. The first truth is God is one. The second truth is love God wholeheartedly. Now, notice the third truth, and it's found there in verse 6. God not only wants our obedience and our wholehearted devotion, but he also wants to have us internalize his law. In other words, he wants us to meditate on his commands. He says in verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be where? On your heart. What words? Well, go back to verse 1. The commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. And not only that, verse 4, that the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. That's what is to be on your heart. And the commandments here are to be on your heart. That is, they are to be internalized. They were to internalize the law. And this is exactly what Jeremiah saw so clearly in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33. He says, I will put my law within them and I will write it upon their hearts. See, it is to be one's constant conscious reflection upon the inner man. Matthew Henry says, God's words must be laid up on our heart that our thoughts may be daily conversant with them and employed about them, and thereby the whole soul may be brought to abide and act under the influence and impression of them. There are two reasons that I want to give you here as to why we are to meditate on God's word. Why he says there in verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And they're listed right here in verses 12 and following. Go back to verse, when he says there, these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. And he tells them about teaching this diligently to your sons and talking about them and binding them as a sign on your hand and frontals on your forehead and writing them on the doorpost of your house. It says in verse 10, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, notice this, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. We are to meditate on God's commands so that you will not forget the Lord. This is the purpose of meditation. Let me give you a verse, Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. What's it mean to meditate? Well, it means to discuss. It means to ponder. It means to chatter. It means to chew the cud, if you will. It's the soul's chewing on a single object of Scripture for a period of time. And there in Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, it teaches us that when you meditate on God's precepts, you will regard all His ways. And this will result in delighting in His statutes and not forgetting His Word. If you forget to have time in the Word, it's because you're not meditating on the Word. If someone asks you after the service, what did you read today? And you say, well, I didn't read the Word. Well, it's because you forgot about it. And the reason why you forgot about it is because you were not meditating on it. Because if you were meditating on it, you would be regarding God's ways, God's precepts, God's statutes, and you wouldn't forget it. Meditation is key. And Israel was to impress these words on the heart and the soul of their kids and their grandkids. They were to bind them as a sign on their hand. They were to be as frontals on their forehead. This was the means by which they were not to forget God. His word was to occupy their heart in their minds 24/7. It's no different today. The very things that He commanded of them, it's the same for us today. We are to meditate on His Word 24/7. We are not to forget His Word. We are to delight in His ways. You know, God later told Joshua, prior to going in to taking Jericho, He told him in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it." How long? Day and night. Do you go throughout the day thinking about God, thinking about His Word? Do you go throughout the night thinking about the things of God? That's meditating on the things of God. That's meditating on His truths. Taking a theme or a topic or portions of Scripture and chewing on them, running it over and over and over in your mind. Listen, the reason why we have Scripture memory as a church is not so that we can say we memorize Scripture. It's so that we can know our God. It's so that we can become intimate with Him and intimate with His Word. The reason why we are reading the Scriptures together as a church and encouraging you to do so is so that we can know Him. I don't want any of us to say, "Well, I read it last year. I don't need to read it this year." You need to read it over and over. Some of us maybe have never read the Bible from cover to cover. And this is a good discipline to teach you. So I would encourage you, if you're not reading the Scripture with us, start. Start doing it. You'll find that it will revolutionize your life. You will see things in the Bible that you didn't realize were there. And it will teach you. The Old Testament will teach you what the New Testament is saying, and the New Testament will teach you what the Old Testament is saying. The Bible will interpret itself. We are to meditate on it day and night. And that's what God told Joshua. Do it day and night so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. That's why you meditate on it. You don't want to forget about God. You don't want to forget about His law. You don't want to forget about His Word. You want to do His Word. Paul said in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or good reputation or good standing," he says there, "if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." You know, we live in a world that's seeking to pump so many things in our mind. You ride down the road, you've got the billboards, you know, that just kind of scream out at you. And you get your eye looking that way, and then you pass one, you look at another one. I remember when we were meeting in the little place down there on Beach Boulevard, and you had to go by these certain billboards that I know, hopefully all the guys are doing this. I know when I rode by, I was like, you know, looking to the left, because right there in front of your eyes was a lady there on a billboard in a bikini. And that doesn't help your spirituality, men. At all. Thinking on things that are right, that are true. That tells me right there, I need to guard what I'm putting in. I need to guard what I'm listening to. I need to guard what I'm watching. The more of God's Word that you have internalized for yourself, the more effectively you will be able to properly indoctrinate your children in the Scriptures. See, you have a goal, and your goal should be to increasingly become like one of the scribes that Jesus describes there in Matthew 13:52, which says, "Who know the Scripture so well that he brings forth out of his treasure things new and old." That is, he brings things that he has learned from others and things that he's figured out for himself. In other words, he's a student of the Scripture. And he knows, as a student of the Scripture and studying about his God, that the Scripture studies him. And reveals things about him. That's why we spent a Sunday talking about being a doer of the Word. We have to put these things to practice, folks. The Word of God is my hope in my affliction. This is the only thing I have to hold on to in trials. It's the only thing I have to hold on to, period. Folks, what are you holding on to when you go through troubles? Is it the Word? It's the Word that sustains you. It's the Word that keeps you clear-headed. In those moments when you can't even think straight. Well, the second reason that Moses gives for meditating on God's Word, it's found there in verse 13 down to verse 15. He says, You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship Him and swear by His name. You shall not follow after other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you as a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and He will wipe you off the face of the earth. In other words, you are to meditate on God's word so that you will not forget the Lord. And you're also to meditate on God's commands so that you will fear the Lord and worship Him only. See, when your whole life, your inner and your outer life, is controlled by the Word, you will not forget the Lord, but you will fear and worship Him only. You will not worship any other god, because you know that the Lord is your God and that He is one, and that He is a jealous God who will not share His glory with any other. See, this is why we need to teach this and pass this on. The very thing that God is saying right here in the great Shema, verses 4 through 9, is what Israel used to cite twice a day as their creed. This is what we need to pass on. We pass on the commandments there in chapter 5. We pass on that the Lord is one, that the Lord is our God. We pass on about loving Him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and having these words on our heart. We pass this on to the next generation. And then that generation takes it and does the same thing and internalizes that law and then passes it on to their children. Folks, we have a lot of work to do. And I'll confess to you, and every parent in here will agree with me, it's not easy. It's not easy teaching the things of God, because in teaching the things of God, you have to make sure you're applying these things. You have to make sure that there is a death of self in your life. Because your kids will be the first to say to you, "Dad, you're a hypocrite. You're telling me one thing, but you're doing something different." And they will tell you that. There are six effects that I want to give you will happen when you fear and worship God only. In other words, when God's word is on your heart, not only will you not forget the Lord, but notice these six other things that will happen. First of all, you will worship the one and true God. When God's word is on your heart, you will worship the one God, the one true God. You know that He is God and that there is no other. You know what it says in Acts 4:12, that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You'll know what Jesus says when He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, there's only one God. And you will worship the true God. That's the first effect. The second effect is the Bible teaches that you will prolong your days. Over in Deuteronomy 32, verse 47, He urges them again about being obedient to the law of God and hiding this in your heart. And He says that this is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. If you want to stay in the land, and if you want to be blessed as I am blessing you in the land, then obey me. And love me. And worship me. And don't worship any other gods. And follow after any other gods. Don't follow after the paganism of the nations. Follow me, keep my word, and it will go well with you. We all know toward the end of Deuteronomy, you have the curse that will occur if they didn't do that. You have the blessing if they did do that. That's why He says, this is not an idle word for you. This is your life. And by this, you're going to prolong your days. So another passage talks about that. It's Proverbs 3. It says in the first two verses, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." It says there that when the word is hidden in your heart and you're faithful to that, and you're faithful to hide it and to do it and to live it, then it's going to cause you to worship the one and true God. It's going to cause you to have your days prolonged. Third, you're going to find favor and a good standing or a good repute with God and man. Proverbs 3:4 says, "So you will find favor and good repute." Repute means reputation or standing. You'll find good repute in the sight of God and man. You will have the right reputation. Some people are out trying to make a name for themselves. Quit trying to do that. Let the Word be paramount in your life, and God will make the name for you. Amen. Fourth thing that happens, your paths will be straight, causing you not to stumble. Listen to what Psalm 37:30 says. It says, "The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip." Listen, his steps do not slip because the law of God's in his heart. The reason why his mouth utters wisdom and his tongue speaks of justice is because the law of his God is in his heart. That's why. Psalm 119:11, very familiar verse. "Your word I have hidden in my heart," or "treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The very word of God becomes a deterrent to sin, a preventative to sin. Listen, you want to meditate on this word. And you want it to be where you don't forget the Lord. You want it to be that you will fear and worship Him only. And when you do that, you will worship the one and true God. You will prolong your days. You'll find favor and good repute with God. Your paths will be straight, causing you not to stumble. And number five, you'll delight to do God's will. You'll delight in the right kind of things. Psalm 40:8. He says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your word is within my heart." You see where the word is? You see where it's on the inner person? People spend a lot of time cleaning up the outward, the externals. But listen, focus on the inward. Listen, this is what happens when you are in the word. When you're hiding it, when you're meditating on it, when you're talking about it, when you're singing it, when you're preaching it, when you're listening to it. This is what's going to happen. And last, the effect would be you'll be spirit-filled. What's the saying, Colossians 3:16? "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." You remember we've been studying in Ephesians 5 that that is just a parallel to being filled with the Spirit. These are the reasons that you should give your kids for loving God with their entire being. And if you'll notice, this starts with you. We keep going back to that revealing right there, that revelation right there, that this starts with us. To have the proper parenting, to have biblical parenting, we've got to start with our own lives, because that's what speaks to our kids. So this starts with you. You have to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have to meditate on God's word day and night. And now you can do what verses 7 and 9 says in Deuteronomy 6. And that is, you must diligently teach God's commands to your children. Let me take the moment to read that again. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Listen, God's people were responsible to meditate on these commandments, to keep them in their hearts. This enabled them to understand the law. It enabled them to apply it correctly. And listen, then they were in a position to impress this on their hearts, on the hearts of their children. Now listen, there's two things here that we need to get. Two things. The first is this, and it's the first part of verse 7. You shall teach them diligently. You must teach this diligently. Teach this to your sons. Teach this to your daughters. You have to be diligent in the process. In the book Back to the Blackboard, Jay Adams, he unpacks the meaning of the most significant verb that's found in this verse. You'll find there the verb, teach them diligently, or it might even be translated in your version, impress deeply. There in the Berkeley version is a single Hebrew verb that means to say something twice. It's related to the number two. Then it came to mean say it again or repeat it. And it's used of sharpening a sword because of the whetting process. The blade is repeatedly struck or rubbed against the honing stone. The second factor in the word moves away from the idea of repetition as merely rote learning to the idea of applying truth to situation after situation to which it corresponds. Surely, he says, one must learn the truth, but repeatedly he must show its application to everyday, real-life circumstances. In other words, truth, he says, must be integrated with life. Lou Priolo, commenting on this verse, he says, children must be taught how the Scriptures relate to the every area of life. He says, the goal is not simply to teach the story of David and Goliath, but also to explain how that narrative relates to the child's relationship with God, that child's relationship with his parents and his siblings and his schoolmates. He says, you must teach not only the interpretation of each passage, but you also must teach its application. And listen, that takes some work. That takes some work on you knowing the Scripture. Now, don't lose hope at this point, because this is not without hope. Pick up your Bible and start reading it. And read it every day. Read it repeatedly, over and over. Every free moment you have, read the Word. And you'll find your mind beginning to grasp an understanding of what is here. And after a while, you'll begin to get the big picture and see the whole as it relates to its parts. But spend time in it. Internalize it. Think on it. Talk about it all the time. Because that's what this text is talking about. This command was first given over in chapter 4. If you want to look there to chapter 4 in verse 9. And notice what he says there. He says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Two times he says that, verse 9, and also in verse 10, about teaching their children.
It's so important that we teach our kids the Word of God so that they can do the Word of God. Today you've been listening to a message called Teaching Your Kids About God. It's taken from Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. This message is available on one full-length audio CD and is made available today by calling us at 904-651-3351. If you prefer downloading the free MP3 from our website, you can do that by visiting us at www.changedbygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Thank you for listening. Hope you join us again next time.